Hey folks, today we've got a little bit of Black Panther news, a little bit of Thor news, a little Iron Fist news, but we have pictures of Shocker. Nothing else matters in the world. This is Marvel Movie News!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News!
Excelsior to you, my merry Marvelites. The only thing that matters in the world today is that Shocker is not only confirmed, but there are pictures, and I'm the happiest, but I can't talk about it yet because I have to save my zeal. So to start the show, we are coming to you live from Midtown High to celebrate the excitement of Spider-Man. So you can subscribe to us on Marvel Movie News on YouTube/Popcorn Talk Network. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. Matt Key does the spiel better. I can't hide my excitement. The Shocker is going to be talked about today. But first, I have to introduce my guest, one of which is the biggest Shocker fan I know in the world. He's legit. He wrote a script about it. He's dressed as the Shocker. My buddy, Max Landis.
Thank you, Koi. It's a 456-page fan fiction.
It's a thing of art.
Nice. It's a novel. I don't know what's wrong with me.
It's, you know, it's out there in the world.
I feel like it's a diagnostic criteria for something.
What does this mean about a man?
What does this mean that I did this? I adore that character so much.
He's so specific.
I love what he represents.
And we're going to dive into that
deep. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, we got to power through some news. And back with this, always appreciated, is Markia.
Y'all can follow me on Twitter, at Markia McCarty, M-A-R-K-E-I-A-M-C-C-A-R-T-Y. I'm just really enjoying the fact that Koi's so #clappy happy.
Oh, you have no idea. Now. Like, you should have seen us last night just going.
Just
like,
going
the idea
Shocker.
Those pictures exist made, like... I thought it was a little superhero fatigue-y until that picture happened, and I was like, oh, this is what it feels like to be a child.
Yeah,
like,
this is the first time I've been really excited for a Marvel movie.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's that big a thing.
I'm always like, okay, a Marvel movie, and they're like, fun. And, but, like, this is the first time I, like, saw an on-set picture, and I was like, are there any higher quality on-set pictures, images of Shocker? And I got too excited. And then I heard that the other villain is Vulture and the Tinkerer, and I'm like...
They're going for it. Full tilt.
They're doing a Spider-Man movie.
And the fact that, yeah,
the Tinkerer
once again.
Got me excited.
It's working. We flanked you. We're like on the ends, like, trust us. Shocker's here.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for the Shocker conversation.
Doom
now.
Demands you get on topic.
Sorry. There's such zeal. Okay, we'll start it out. We're going to talk about X-Men. This isn't really news, but I thought it was really cool. A lot of times going into pre-production, you have a lot of actors cast in roles they don't end up playing, and a lot of times they make concept art about those actors in these roles. This picture, which we found this week, not only has Elle Fanning as Phoenix, but it actually shows the full 90s Jim Lee costume on Elle Fanning. How cool is this? Like, we actually almost had not only Elle Fanning, but we almost had a Phoenix costume. We almost had Jean Grey as we knew her in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I love this image. Like, it's full tilt comic. It's crazy. It doesn't look like real life. I never saw Elle Fanning as Phoenix. I still don't really, you know, but I love this image. It's a cool little man up.
Yeah, well, I didn't see, what's her name? Sophie Turner?
Sophie Turner, yeah.
Sophie Turner. I didn't see her as you know, being Phoenix until she was actually, well, being Jean Grey until she actually was.
Not to throw shade, but I still don't. But I just don't see.
I like that they were taking a lot of Game of Thrones characters and putting them into.
Yeah, I mean, I love her. I respect the heck out of that show. I still feel like they didn't quite embrace the characters I know as the X-Men yet.
Ooh.
Can I be me for a second?
By all means.
Okay.
This image is cool, but for me, it typifies everything that's wrong with the process of making these movies. That's a 90s costume.
Definitely.
Movie took place in the 80s. That
okay.
We saw.
Right.
Yeah,
with a different
true.
Actress. So that means at one point in the muddled development of this movie... we were in the 90s, and, like, there were probably...
They got this far.
They got this far, and so it just shows how, like, weird the development process of these movies are and how many random ideas come up and get thrown out, and, like, when you watch some of these movies and you're like, this feels really muddled or it doesn't feel like they really thought this through, it's because they didn't. They just ran out of time before Greenlight.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, here's the script we sort of have.
And that's what it felt like, and that's why I can't fully forgive. I've said 100 times, it's probably my catchphrase in the show, that Bryan Singer makes excellent mutant films, but he hasn't made a good X-Men film.
No.
And I'm really excited for the day we get an X-Men film, and I would love it to be the 90s, because that is the X-Men. We,
yeah.
A lot of us,
yeah.
Our generation's X-Men.
Okay, but just saying, do you think, like, maybe it being Apocalypse is something that, like, kind of poisoned the well for you a bit?
I think having a movie that didn't know what it was yet poisoned the
right.
well. There was no well to poison. It was a puddle of confusion.
Okay.
You know, it just kind of manifested as many things, and that's not its fault necessarily, but we keep giving movies that don't know what they are yet money, so they'll keep making them.
Yeah, well, it's fascinating because the, you know, Suicide Squad had a legendarily troubled development process. Mm-hmm. It was recut 4 times, just crossed $600 million worldwide.
300 domestic.
What did Warner Brothers learn? Suicide Squad's a good movie. So, like, as long as we did a good job.
Right, right.
So, mm-hmm. as long as these movies, you know, as long as they turn in money, the process is going to stay the same. Actually, I think Apocalypse underperforming probably really helped the X-Men movies.
Yeah, because it gives us hope to learn to develop.
Ideally, it will give Fox, like some sort of drive to, like, do a more specific vision. I mean, like, you're so right, Coy, that it's just why is there no fucking, now that we have the effects to do it, there's the money in superhero movies to do it.
Right.
Why is there no movie of Beast, Gambit, Rogue, Cyclops, Wolverine, Jubilee,
the team we all want, Angel, and
fucking Jean Grey.
We've earned
and fighting the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Right. Like,
they're going to do a terrorist attack.
We've gotten
that'd
to the
be
point.
Awesome,
yeah.
We're at a point in society where that when that Crossbones costume came out for this newest Crossbones costume, it's full comic. It's as comic as the Shocker we're going to talk about today. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, society's ready. We, in 2015 at the time, have gotten to the point where we'll accept a man with giant blasters on his arms with a cross across his chest.
Wait, hold
as something.
On. Crossbones is still alive?
No, I'm saying when we saw those pictures. When we first saw those images. I was like, oh, we did it. Society's ready for full comics.
Yes.
Like, we're there. So there's no reason 90s X-Men can't exist now.
Well, that was that wonderful thing where Crossbones died.
Right. Something happened.
Well, it was like something happened.
Yeah.
So it's like something that couldn't happen in the comic.
Happened. And Captain America is the one series of movies where things happen.
Yeah, where stuff happens.
Like, when that, I think that's the flu into Marvel, is you've got one character that, like, Event movie, real movie.
Yeah.
And that's what's fascinating is Civil War was such a zeitgeist shift in what comic movies are that I think Marvel going forward can be as bold as they want with Doctor Strange, with Black Panther. And because Deadpool made all the money, now Fox can hopefully go, that's working, movie.
Well, no. Well, Deadpool did is teach people that fart jokes are funny.
Someone
picked up a notepad and went, fart jokes are funny?
$1.2 billion?
If we say clit, the audience will laugh.
100 times.
And so I worry. I'm sorry. I'm just playing with this little toy of Karen.
I know. That's why it's there. Karen's hanging out.
Karen's just fucking...
She's ready, always.
I want to text her this. This is what she's like in real life.
Apparently, you haven't really played with bobbleheads before.
They're great.
So I've never played with them. I can't stop touching them. I'm sorry.
So I think that Fox going forward, hopefully the smaller budget, bigger story, bigger writer, the writers having more time. I want those movies to happen. And this is a good point. Like, we maybe almost had the 90s. I'd like that to be where they go next. If it'll happen, who knows? But
I like the 90s. I like 90s X-Men.
Jim Lee's
Uncanny?
Run was just
Uncanny. Yeah. All my favorite stuff of X-Men is like 1992 to like 2006.
Yeah.
That's all my favorite. And that's all my favorite Batman stuff.
Well, Grant Morrison's run, was that 2002 to 2006, I think?
I think Grant Morrison was 2000, maybe, yeah.
I like his new X-Men.
Yeah. I think that might be a little later.
His Crazy Quietly run.
Yeah, the fucking Crazy
Quietly. The Art Man, man, that was
Ryan
intense.
Ryan Xavier's.
Just reading stuff. I'm like, everyone's... So, anyway.
But that, for me, was post... I'd fallen out of the X-Men by the time I came back.
He got me back.
Yeah.
He was the first guy that I'd left Jim Lee and Claremont. I came back with him, and then I filled in the dots in the middle.
See, I was in there reading, like, Trial of Gambit and, like, Onslaught.
Yeah.
Like, I was a teenager.
I want those movies.
Dude, I just want there to be character-based X-Men movies. I want Mr. Sinister to be the villain in X-Men.
Oh my god, yes.
Bryan Cranston wants it.
Yes,
Bryan Cranston.
He's lobbying for Mr. Sinister.
He's not hot enough.
But he wants
it.
And
he'd be fantastic.
I love
he would
Bryan
be able to do the gravitas of the character.
Obscure C-list villain. Like, I love that he's like, boop.
I don't think it's fair to call Mr. Sinister.
I want him to be a Telltale game where you don't even realize that you're the villain until you get to, like, you cross the line over it. I want that to be for Mr. Sinister.
Oh, that's a fucking cool idea.
I like that a lot.
That would
into
be
it.
Amazing.
Into it.
I
now,
that.
Doom would be mad at me if we didn't get to the subject before it's too late. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, you guys just found out this fact that not only is...
What is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a show. Is that Ghost Rider, who doesn't drive a motorcycle, will be appearing on this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This Ghost Rider drives a hot rodish car in the streets of East L.A., and his name is Robbie Reyes, and your thoughts.
Okay, so when we had the topic of it, it was like, oh, okay, great, we're going to talk about Ghost Rider going on Marvels of S.H.I.E.L.D. I was like, okay, great, Zach can take care of the Marvel and S.H.I.E.L.D. thing. But yeah, Ghost Rider, great. So it's going to be Johnny Blaze, or it's going to be Danny Ketch. K-E-T-C-H. I can't pronounce people's names.
I mean, Ketch.
Because you read it. You don't hear it.
I only
Ketch
read.
Ketch just sounds satanic.
It's true. It's got a flavor to it.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. Get, you know, the Ghost of Vengeance and, you know, whatever's going to happen with it. And then I get here today and Zach and Coy are like, oh, no. It's some new guy.
And, it's Robbie Reyes. And we got our first look at him in costume this week.
Okay. Do you have the...
So, Ghost Rider's costume. A jacket.
Why is he wearing a motorcycle jacket when he drives a car?
He should be wearing a fucking wife beater.
I know a lot of questions. Doom's excited. Doom is our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. guy. Why is he wearing a leather jacket in the car?
Well, I can't answer that. I mean, it doesn't mean he never rides a motorcycle at all, but his vehicle is the Hell Charger, which is a Dodge Charger that is infused with the Hell.
It's a Dodge Charger?
You know, he's real bold.
Please tell
guy.
Me it's a fucking 70s Charger. He's and a it real, isn't one of it, these it, new Chargers.
It is. Okay, we actually got our first footage. I believe it's a 1973 Dodge Charger.
All right. So this clip was released this week.
Yeah, we got this little quote-unquote leak from the streets.
Leak from the streets.
Yeah,
sometimes when I'm drunk, I take a leak in the streets.
East LA.
Let's take a look.
You know the writer who made this up has never been, like, past downtown.
Wait, it's starting.
Oh my god! Is that him?
What?
That's him!
That's gotta be the worst viral footage I've ever seen.
Yeah, there's not a lot there.
Now, I don't typically insult things in the show because I like to be positive, but that, to me, was choosing the guy in The Dark Knight where he's like, "No more dead cops!" as the guy to do the only line of dialogue in the thing. Right? Like, is that not weird?
But
anybody else?
That literally looked like it was actually shot in East LA of nothing cool happening.
I just don't... I want to... And I'm sorry, what fans of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'd like to understand. And I don't get this being the direction they're going with Ghost Rider. I'm not insulting you or the show. I just don't get why they'd go this way.
Well,
it's not Ghost Rider.
The thing, fans of Johnny Blaze, at least, like, you can think about, like, this means they don't... Johnny Blaze can still be done in the MCU.
Can I say something weird, though?
Please.
So you guys know, like, I have a real weird relationship with diversity in what Marvel has been doing lately, which is, I think a lot of it is really shilly, and I hate that mainstream A-list heroes are replaced briefly with minority heroes, only to have the mainstream, you know, white heroes return triumphantly.
Yeah. Kind of like a three-shell game.
Yeah, like
ends with white guy. That's the shell game's over.
Yeah. Yeah, and it drives me crazy. The second, like, you said they're calling her Ironheart, I was like, okay, she's temporarily Iron Man, and then she'll be her own hero. He'll show up in, like, Young Avengers, and it's like, don't do that to her. Let her just come in as Ironheart. Anyway, so I was thinking about it. And this is going to be really weird. Okay. Why do I really like the idea of Ghost Rider as a Latino guy?
Yeah.
Something about that.
That works.
It's really great. It works.
That really
works. It
works
to have it East LA. It works to have it be, what was his name?
Robbie Reyes.
That works. I even love the sound of it. Robbie Reyes works as a
Ghost Rider
character. I don't like them putting him in a car.
Why is he?
It doesn't have to go that far.
That's
you don't have to change everything.
And you know, smoking in your car is illegal in LA.
Yeah, and how old is he? Is he a minor? Because you can't have a minor in a car smoking.
There's a lot.
Imagine calling Uber and then the Ghost Rider pulls out. Hey.
He's got to make rent, you guys, like everybody else.
If ABC knows what's good for them, they'll call Uber or Lyft and start that promotion right now.
Oh, that would be incredible.
Imagine just Chargers driving around picking people up at, like, a Comic-Con when they do that, where they hire, like, theme cars.
Can I ask a question? This is just an unrelated question. Yeah. In Marvel, who else has a car that they drive around?
Well, there's the Spider-Mobile that did so well that Dan Slott decided to bring back recently. The Spider-Mobile came back because we live in a great time in comics.
No,
because...
There's a lot of jets. There's a lot of
Jets and planes.
Well, because cool vehicles, you want to think things cool. You don't want to feel mundane. Comics
Nick
are to escape.
Because that's like a DC... No,
Nick
but
Fury?
Not really. Like, having a mobile is like a DC thing.
Yeah.
I guess the Fantastic Four have the Fantastic Car, but that's not a car.
Right, that's a flying craft.
Yeah, that's like the bug, the Blue Beetles thing.
Yeah, it's very
Maybe people in Marvel just needed a ride.
They just, you know, he's their guy. I'm from New York. We have public transit. I'm in LA. Who do I call? Robbie Reyes. I'm in LA.
That's true. They're all from New York.
So they're trapped here in LA. They're like, we need a ride. We got a guy.
Oh, man.
We just solved the mystery of comics, you guys.
Dude, You just nailed it so hard. It's that the all LA Marvel people are from New York. So of course he needs a car in LA.
Public transit.
Yeah. Well, you're the only one on a motorcycle in LA.
I'm the only one. I'm the only guy. So to Ghost Rider and to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, I'm excited. Just like on that photo, because I know I'm curious to see, like, because they gave him the look that he has down the line, where his head is more shaved. I'm curious if they're going to give him his, like, he has this weird like blonde streak in his hair.
They just go for it. Off.
We still haven't seen his brother, who he takes care of his handicapped brother, who's in a wheelchair and has autism.
Wheelchair with autism? You'd have to be like really low functioning.
That's the character, Robbie Reyes is charged with taking care of him after his parents took off. That's sort of the.
Can you imagine if you were autistic? How terrifying and confusing it would be to see your brother's head burst into flames.
Oh, wow. Either that or it would make total sense to you. And you would wonder why everybody else did not have that happen.
Yeah, you don't react at all.
You're like, why can't I do that?
That's normal.
Moving on to briefly. There's not much to talk about, but Iron Fist had some set photos released. We can't tell anything that's going on, but we've always shown like Luke Cage's and Jessica Jones. Iron Fist is the show that I've heard the least about in pre-production. I've heard the least about in production. I actually have no idea this actor they cast. I know nothing about Iron Fist.
He is Loras Tyrell. In Game of Thrones.
Right.
I love Loras Tyrell.
Yeah.
The Knight of Flowers. Loras deserved better.
He did. Now he's Iron Fist. Now he got better.
He got the green fire turned him into Iron Fist.
He did it. So now he got hurt. He deserved better.
Danny fucking ran.
So he's a great. Yeah. I like Iron Fist.
He was Marjorie's brother from High Garden for anybody who isn't
so,
as
I'm
rabid.
I'm so
about
in
this
love
show.
With Marjorie, and I'm just still mourning her.
Oh, man. She tried so hard. She did everything right that
she
possibly could.
But yeah, there's an injured guy.
So this guy, the only pictures we have so far are him hurt. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of fighting on Iron Fist. We don't know much about it, except for that it's going to be obviously a high martial arts themed show. The character is a lot of fun. I really like his dynamic with Luke Cage. Obviously, that's a big part of his character. We don't know anything about these pictures, but we wanted to show you them because that is our job, to be like, hey, look, pictures.
That guy was like pointing at his injury.
You're hurt there.
You got hurt there.
Remember the pain.
My guess is, though, that this might be one of the sequences where he's either about to heal himself with chi, or he's in that in-between time where he's recharging, so he can't heal himself. So he's just stumbling around, maybe.
It also might be before he gets his...
Yeah, I forgot. Iron Fist's like healing thing, like it doesn't always work.
Right. And he runs out of juice like a battery. Like he's something like, oh no! I've run out!
I love it! What if there was a superhero who was powered by karma? And so he had to like, oh no, I've been shot. Give a homeless guy $10.
I've done it. Well, there's that one guy.
And he heals up.
There's a new Avenger that like runs off of like ancestry and old energy. So he could totally, comics are really weird right now. Okay. But he could totally be the guy that has to like figure stuff out in the moment to get past regression stuff to solve his things. So yeah, there's not much going on with Iron Fist, but it's the first we've really seen. So we know they're filming. It's moving along. Now, last night we were talking about Thor 3 and you didn't realize that Taika Waititi is directing that craziness.
Yeah.
That footage is easily the craziest thing I've seen Marvel do, and that's saying a lot. That 20-minute short with Thor.
Is it 20 minutes? I thought it was like 5 minutes.
Oh, I thought it was really long. It might only be 5 minutes.
It feels long because it's so good.
The pacing is brilliant.
Which one are you talking about? The one that we saw?
Daryl's office,
That's like 3 minutes
well,
and 30
you know,
seconds.
In my brain, I relished in it. Maybe I watched it 8 times.
I was having an acid flashback.
It's like, oh, this is so long.
You had it on loop or something.
I had a whole experience. That short. Anyway, we have our first official image of their wardrobe, and it probably, the guy that took it's going to get in some trouble because they've been having guys walk around in cowls and hiding these costumes, and this dude posted it on Instagram, so it's probably not the best move in his part. But we see here that they're going full wonky wardrobe. We've got a shawl action happening on Odin. We've got a very, very cool Norse mythology garb on Thor, as is per usual, but it's definitely changed up a little more leather.
And this picture is a little bit dark, but I just want to draw your attention to the fact that there's a loincloth type of thing going on.
Oh yeah, they went
Thor's
for it.
Yeah, so
I'm concerned about this movie for the reason I'm concerned about all Marvel movies not directed by the Russos, which is I think it'll probably be really good, but once the action starts, you know, they always hire these newer directors so they can have the on-brand Marvel action.
Right.
And, you know, we've been seeing the downside of that a little bit in Thor 2 and fucking a bunch of Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Like, where the action gets very, like, nondistinct. And so when you have, like, a Taika Waititi who's never done action before in his life.
It's comedy. Mm-hmm. Strong comedy.
Well, and I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm worried that this movie, which is the, like, end of days, will have the same right. old action.
And it's also, they're going, like, road trip comedy. Like, it's a very different way to go with the story oh, that's
I'm
dark.
I'm pumped up.
I can't wait. Because it's literally like, you tell me Ragnarok, I think one thing, and they're like, how much farther away can that one thing can we go? Yeah. Like, it's literally yeah. like, what if we have a bro movie with Hulk and Thor, sure, yeah. and then Jeff Goldblum's there? Why not? Like, they just keep throwing stuff.
Yeah, and talk about that, stretching that dark comedy.
And then the short came out, and I was like, there's a bed for Mjolnir? Like, they literally, like, I was like, he's holding a little Thor. Yes, sign me up everywhere.
A tiny me.
It's a tiny me. Like, yeah. everything about that had me just, that. Maybe that's why it was 20 minutes, because I've relived it so many times. So I'm very excited. That's our first official image of the wardrobe. It looks like wardrobe, but I'm still really stoked. Moving on over to Doctor Strange. We have, again, a singular image, and this is just for Matt Key, because he's not here, and I didn't want him to think that when Matt Key's not here, Doctor Strange doesn't get mentioned. He mentions Deadpool. When I'm not here, I'll bring up his boy, Doctor Strange. Doomed, we have a picture of the...
Yeah, I'm pulling it up.
Okay, excellent. Basically, this is our next Marvel film. Comes out in November. It's still beautifully mystic. We don't know a lot of what this movie pertains. Mm-hmm. Here's our latest official Doctor Strange image. First one we see him injured and fully garbed up. We've seen him in costume before. We haven't seen him post-battle. This tells us pretty much nothing, but yeah. it's still...
Maybe he's levitating?
It's just
maybe
rad.
He's not?
It's just rad. This is, like, once again, socially acceptable. We've got Benedict Cumberbatch in an actual cloak with an eye of Agamotto, and I'm like, that's a thing that exists!
Yeah, there you go.
Doesn't even seem weird anymore.
No, it doesn't even no. seem weird
Can you,
anymore.
In 2000, X-Men came out, and they were in black leather costumes, because everybody was like, that's too
if
crazy.
If that movie right. came out now, they would be in all yellow and blue.
That's what you'd think, yeah. but then X-Men yeah. just happened, and they were, like, in that for 2 seconds.
Yeah, because that's...
Different studio hat, yeah.
Brand, the mm-hmm. branding.
But how crazy is it we have a socially acceptable full-on Doctor Strange? Wonderful. I'm so proud of, like, where yeah. we are as comic films. And then, briefly, I wanted to mention that Deadpool, since it's, you know, me hosting, Deadpool almost had a scene featuring the Raft. They once again, their script was so riddled with Marvel stuff that they weren't officially Marvel. They tried to plant little eggs to tie it in. Literally, there was a scene where Ajax left the Raft, which would have tied it directly into Civil War.
That's crazy.
But I think the lawyers caught on and were like, but they fully had a Raft reference in a Fox property.
I actually would have liked that, because then that frustrates Deadpool's want even more for Francis, because it's like, oh, of course he couldn't find him.
Because
he was
at an island prison.
Yeah.
But how cool is that? We almost had, like, that's so ballsy on their part to be like, you know what? We're going to call it the Raft.
I mean, the fact that they snuck the helicarrier in is
a third act set piece.
Yeah, and well, it's well, you never really see it
fully.
You never really see it.
This weird tilting helicarrier.
Yeah, well, they're on a thing.
Yeah,
are they on an aircraft carrier?
So, but it's on the air.
It's on the ground.
It was really cool. Yeah. It was real sneaky. I watching it the first time was fully incredulous. Like, how did they? Oh, they did. Oh, the whole third fight. Like, all about it. So. Now our biggest story, the thing I've been rushing to get to, because we had very low news week this week. These pictures of the Shocker are...
Whip we're skipping out. Everything else.
We
talked Thor.
We talked, we'll cycle back. It's all in Spider-Man. We're going to Spider-Man. This is full right. Spider-Man.
Cool.
While we're talking Spider-Man, we want to start
here.
This
is all I care about. This is why I'm here. Oh my God, is that a new picture?
That's the new picture I was telling you about. Look at that. It is fully checkered.
I'm so happy they didn't go with the ultimate costume.
No, they went. That's Shocker.
For those of you that aren't actually watching this live right now, if you could see their two faces while they are staring
at
this picture, it's like this look of wonder.
But
it's beautiful.
I've never seen paparazzi photos where I was more invested.
Yeah, I never look at like pre-production stuff because I'm just like, it's movies. It's my job.
It's not a finished product.
It's not
fair
a finished
product.
But I never, nothing's ever got me excited before this.
This.
I don't know. I'm having a reaction that I wish I always, oh, dude.
Right?
Yeah, what? It's a fucking, it looks like Shocker.
That's a man working on Shocker wardrobe.
And by the way, the fact that it's Joaquin Woodbine, that he has that, I like hope he takes off the mask, because his skin tone will look so beautiful with that yellow
with the
and
yellow
brown.
Pop. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's going to be, that's a man working on Shocker wardrobe. That's still, to me, mind-blowing. There's a man fixing Shocker's vest. I never thought I'd see that.
So now, here's the two things I'm scared
look at
of.
Look at the lineup of the bands. Look at the, like, the coloring and how they augmented it to modern from 70s.
It's
look at the
look
goggles.
So cool. So here's the two things I'm scared about. Number one, Tinker is in this movie. I really don't want Shocker to get his tech from Tinker.
Me either. I don't want it to be the Osborn thing where it's one guy
where it's one guy.
All
it's all
everything.
That's no. You Koi. You haven't been in any fucking rooms. I've dealt with so many meetings where it's like, the audience will get confused if there's more than one bad guy. All of the bad technology has to come from one place so they understand
preferably it. One building. Wow. We'll call it Oscorp.
No, it's, I mean, it's shit like that. You see it in every fucking movie. It all comes from the one source, and that causes everything bad because people are too stupid to understand. It's like Boba Fett was fucking getting Han for Jabba, for fucking
and then
Jabba.
The clones were all Fetts for some reason?
No, the clones were all, like mini Fett, right. Fett's dad.
Because it has to be from one source.
Because it has to, but keep in mind, in the original Empire, there's just a bunch of bounty hunters with their own goals, mm-hmm. and Vader uses them to get to his son.
Right.
And like, and you could have two villains, and these days, people are, the fucking development process is so afraid of that, that Shocker is so important to me. Okay, so, I'm just going to go on a little rant. Shocker is my favorite thing about the suspension of belief involved in comics because of the huge levels of narrative potential of any given character. So the Shocker, Herman Schultz, was a safecracker who, while in jail, devised gauntlets that flung vibrated air at such a level that it could blow through walls, because that was a method he'd been using to research cracking safes, then made a suit that would protect him from that, mm-hmm. escaped prison using these things he built, and then became a criminal for hire who was not interested in being a supervillain, just wanted to be a criminal, have these incredible gauntlets. But it's that thing where it's a thing I always bring up with him, and I wrote in my giant fan fiction about it, which is that wait 9 years to get out of prison, patent that,
make all the money you've ever
made, $6 billion. And you know, that's the truth of so many of Spider-Man's villains, is that they're brilliant people who are fundamentally flawed. Mm-hmm. And that's what drove me crazy about, you know, there's, you know, the Sinister Foes of Spider-Man, you know, that comic.
Yeah.
Like, it drove me crazy because they portrayed Shocker as an idiot.
Right, and he's not.
He can't be an idiot.
And so, like, to have, well, what gives me hope is that it's Bokeem Woodbine, who's such a soulful actor, who, like, can add such gravitas and meaning to, like, the smallest role, to the smallest look. That guy has look acting down. He has that fucking, who the fuck am I thinking of who's so good at it, too?
There's a lot.
From the 90s.
Start naming movies that they're in.
Fucking
Giovanni Ribisi has good look at
it. Giovanni Ribisi is incredible. I was going to say Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, yes.
Where he can just like do
those
like
two guys, Dustin Hoffman, Giovanni Ribisi. Similar thing. Always out for the same parts.
Yeah. Well, they are in different eras.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know who the new guy is of those guys. Maybe Miles Teller, but
we've had this conversation about actors today versus guys. There's no new guys.
I don't know. I just, the Shocker, to me, having the Shocker, first of all, making it a Brooklyn movie, having the villains be like Shocker and Vulture.
They committed to the New York flavor of the world. A like, fan fucking, made me this shirt about how much Spider-Man is New York, and
yeah,
like,
just fucking
this embodies it all.
Yeah, awesome.
Max Aaron,
keeping it to awesome. The keeping awesome it to the shirt. Boroughs, well, and then. Like just a kid in Queens. I pray, mm-hmm. you know, after seeing Cop Car, there's not going to be a big beam going into the sky.
There won't be gray minions that he's.
There
fighting.
Won't be okay. gray minions
yeah,
to fight.
We've had enough with the portals and the sky.
It's going to be a one-on-one
Suicide Squad, which is this year even portals. Made fun of it, and like that, I'm like, how do you make fun of something while doing it? Like yeah. that is a moment I was like, oh, they're going. For
I
a
was
while.
Very surprised when the beam sky beam showed up in Suicide Squad. I was like,
because the trailers advertised the movie that was the one we wanted, and then the movie was like, what if sky beam? We were like, okay, we're going there yeah. anyway. Yeah. Then we're not going to trash talk Suicide Squad. I want to embrace mm-hmm. the fact that we live in a time where 90s Spider-Man animated series is being fleshed yeah. out and there are wardrobe people working on it. That yeah. is that is literally, those are images of that costume come to life in a way I never thought we'd see. That is a side-by-side, like, it's just,
it's weird that just mm-hmm. that image, I don't know how my brain works, it must be like a fucking Pavlov dog, that image makes me think this movie's gonna be really good.
That image conjures wonderful. Up more nostalgia than most smells for me.
Yeah.
You know okay. how smell just brings you back to childhood? This image makes me go, I remember when I was 7 reading that comic. Yeah. I remember when I was watching that show. Like,
Shocker
this is
broke exactly. Spider-Man's arm, dude.
Yeah, and he's a guy.
And he's just a guy.
That's to,
fucking the best.
To go off of a Max's Karen. Passionate rant. Another, I don't know, like another angle with that, with having Bokeem playing Shocker and how it is that he makes his, was it Vibro Smashers was mm-hmm. the term?
The gauntlets. The Vibro
there's
gauntlets.
A, there's a, where he calls him something.
The gauntlets.
I think it was
gauntlets, okay.
Well, okay, so well, his gauntlets.
I call them all sorts.
Those.
I make up all sorts of names for them in the fan fiction. I don't
like,
know if they have a canon
Smash
name.
Or something like that. Well, in any case, with that, it is to me, for this world that has now been established, it is entirely plausible that Bokeem can make those in prison with, you know, the materials that are on hand. In fact, when you watch some prison documentaries, I forget
the ones. Oh, it's insane, yeah.
It's insane what people, because humans are amazing. The ingenuity of humans are amazing.
We're an animal in a corner, we'll do what we can to get out, exactly. Like any other animal. In our case, we can think outside of the range of normal. You know, we have a different scope.
Yeah. The thing that I like with having Shocker definitely be the person that makes the equipment, besides, you know, like him being an engineer and everything, I like the psychological aspect of it, where he couldn't wait.
Yeah.
That was an impossibility for him. He had to get out. And then that goes into, like, later on with his arc, where he has those confidence issues. You know,
right.
Terrible
confidence issues.
You know, where he has to go to therapy. Yeah. It's like, I like that Shocker. I want to see that kind of character.
He's not a sociopath or a psychopath, exactly. Or even that's that bad beautiful. Of a person. Even his weapons don't kill you.
No,
and intentionally,
no.
He won't kill you.
He won't kill
There's
you.
That amazing run, the John Meter Jr. art, where Spider-Man's hanging off a wall, he has vertigo, and Shocker's the bad guy in the issue, and he's been blowing up this abandoned building, and the building's shaking, and it's Spider-Man about to be trapped by a building, and he has the opportunity to kill Spider-Man, but instead of that, he shoots right next to him and lets fate decide and just walks away, because he's not a murderer.
He's not a murderer.
But he's also trying to get away. Yep. So I love that moment of, like, he has complete and total control, and he won't make a bad choice, but he also won't do the right thing. He just goes. And I'm like, that's a villain without being a silly supervillain.
I mean, literally, can you think of another Spider-Man villain that primarily uses a non-lethal weapon?
Exactly. It's amazing.
I mean, just let him rob the bank. It's cheaper. Just take the insurance.
It's fine. Just let him go.
Well, I just...
There's actually more damage with just fighting him instead of just letting him
take it.
But
that's what I love about Spider-Man villains. I've read more Spider-Man, so this is unfair to other comics, but like Sandman, he has a kid. He's just trying to take care of his kid. Right. Shocker, he's just misguided. And he thinks he needs the money. He has to have the money.
He's a criminal.
Like, these are guys that are against their luck, and they're just as interesting as our hero.
Yes.
And I find that to be why Daredevil worked as a show, why Breaking Bad worked as a show, because the villain-hero line is blurred enough that you're invested and all involved, and if it's a gray minion, you're not. And you're never going to be, because there's no empathy for nothing. And this has the potential to have us have empathy for everyone involved. The casting, which is my next topic, is so spot on that you're literally going to see a person, you'll reference them in your brain to another movie you've seen them in, and they're so good at, like, the face acting, you're there. Yeah. Like, they got the kid from Beasts of No Nation as a student in this film. Beasts of No Nation, we saw an Abraham Atta grow 10 years in one movie. The kid was an innocent boy, and then a war-hardened, like, it's seen the world.
Yeah.
That kid is a student, I'm already like, whatever he does, I'm in. Like, that casting, which is my next topic, Hannibal Buress is the gym coach in this movie. And Hannibal Buress has the ability to come in and do, like, a Seth Rogen-y laugh. He has such a uniqueness like Seth Rogen does that you're like, I know everything I need to know about this character just by
him,
casting.
Him reacting to Peter suddenly being way better in gym class is already a funny
exciting scene.
It's it's incredible.
Like, John Hughes' comedy is just in this casting.
It's a great, it just seems like it's put together so well already.
Man, I have a lot of faith in this particular picture.
God, I hope it doesn't suck, because then I have to tweet about it.
I have faith that they're gonna hit those nuances. I mean, Bokeem's not just gonna be a dumb criminal that gets his equipment from this smarter, younger, able-bodied tinkerer. But actually, we don't know if he's able-bodied. So
also, by the way, the fact that they cast Bokeem Woodbine to me says he's not gonna be Paul Giamatti in Spider-Man 2.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like the fact that they cast Bokeem Woodbine says they want this character to have depth, and that it's just so exciting to me.
I
write a 451-page Shocker.
You know what? I have no doubt about that.
You can find it online. It's called The Shocker Legit.
Just Google Shocker Legit.
Warning, he is not a nice person, and it's told from his perspective.
I think that the way they're assembling not only the villains, the way they're shaping the movie, the way they're tonally shaping the movie, and the casting, this has the potential to be easily our best superhero movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the 20 minutes we got with Tom Holland in a movie that was brilliant. He stole the show in a brilliant movie with an established world of characters. You don't go into a movie with, like, Ocean's 11 and care about the new person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we were invested in the new guy. Nobody knew Tom Holland that well. He'd done 3 movies, mostly, like, Oscar indies. And then he does this superhero film, and you're like, oh, I want to know more about him.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. So to have a whole movie about that, and then add this cast, and have the Shocker?
Like with Black Panther, Civil War. Oh, my God, it was amazing.
Black Panther, also brilliant.
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
Black Panther and Spider-Man, to me, are the two that could dethrone Civil War as the best Marvel movie.
Agreed.
And Spider-Man, it maybe even Black Panther, are starting to look like maybe just the better amongst the best superhero movies.
I agree.
I have nothing bad to say about that statement.
I've seen bad stuff happen to better setups. I just get so nervous. But it's crazy that Marvel has this giant slate and now has three movies that I'm excited to go pay money for. They didn't have that 3 years ago.
And the fact
I was
that
sick
that's
of
very
it.
True.
We have
that's
three
true.
Movies that I, in my opinion, are the first that maybe they'll take credibly for, like, awards and things. Like, we're casting actors that are, like, these are accolades. Like, Black Panther might be our first, like, you know, Oscar-nominated, beyond, like, special effects, film because of the way they're assembling it. Spider-Man has the potential to be more than Spider-Man. The coolest thing about seeing Spider-Man in Civil War was seeing kids get their Spider-Man.
Yeah.
This is a new generation. This is kids going like, oh, I get my big brother's obsession. I get my dad loving Spider-Man. We're getting to see a new generation grow and turn into comic fans because we have a 14-year-old hero that's for 14-year-olds. And they're making it a good movie. They don't have to, but they are. So I'm... Yeah. Speaking of Civil War...
Actually, they do have to, Koi. This summer is really failing... box office for
since
a lot
2004
of
right it was the worst since 2004
yeah I mean they've got to start turning in something different or they're in deep shit
or movies are over
yeah
like movies could be over because TV's doing so well that there's
well,
competition
super, you know superhero movies killed movies it ended everything so it's funny to talk about them be excited for them and know that they're slotting other movies that you know we're not going to get an Inner Space or an E.T.
but we did get a Hell or High Water. I think it's cyclical. I think there's hope.
Yeah, but Hell or High Water didn't make like enough money and no one talked about it. I feel like I only heard about it because you posted
I'm
about
not
it.
Excited about that
I was
movie.
In Canada. I was like maybe I'll just go see Hell or High Water and I went and saw it and I was like oh this is a very good movie.
They still make these?
Yeah, it was very weird.
I'll put it on the list.
It's brilliant. On the Civil War, Ben Foster, on the Civil War tangent, we found this amazing clip that showed that not only was Spider-Man not just CGI, but it was in fact Tom Holland killing it on set. And I wanted to show these guys, they haven't seen it yet. Yeah. It's just really freaking cool. Look at that costume in person.
Ain't shady, baby, I'm hot.
Like that's a Ditko suit.
Oh, I hate seeing all the green.
It's weird, right? And that's him fighting. Like it's him up on the rafters.
Yeah. This is so cool. Look at them painting it on.
Full movie magic. That is beautiful to me. Look at that. I've never seen a suit look more like what I imagined as a kid a suit
would
look
like. It's crazy to see him in it and have it look like that.
And to know there's a Tom Holland in there.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy when he takes off his mask. And it's like, oh, that's him.
Seeing him actually do the fighting instead of just knowing. Like, I love the fact that I don't know, this clip made me really happy as a kid and an adult.
This is so cool. It's so crazy how what movies even look like now.
This is what $200 million plus Spider-Man looks like, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, that to me is everything I always dreamt Spider-Man would be. And that's a minute, you know? Like,
it's
that's
crazy
just so
to
surreal.
See him in the costume and have it look like it's from a comic book.
Right? Like, to see him in 3D representation and have him take the mask off and be like, oh, wait, Tom Holland's a person, not Peter Parker. Like, there's a separation in my brain. I'm like, whoa.
Well, also just the fact that the mask can fit that way. The
right?
fact that that took so long.
The costume design. Whoever designed that costume is all the accolades because it looks like his muscularity.
Well, it's
the
a
mask.
Special, it's a special
it looks like
effect.
It's to the shirt like he just has to
right like how does that go on like it's so beautiful and
no
like
crease
I'm
touching myself tonight.
Exactly, that's how I feel about it. I love that clip because it was Spider-Man and we're there, we did it. And if they keep making them the way Spider-Man and Black Panther are shaping up, the bubble doesn't have to burst as long as we can have other movies too. Like
I think the bubble's gonna burst, but it's just gonna have better movies while it bursts.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is exciting.
Yeah, we at least deserve that.
Yeah.
And also the weirdest news this week for me was that it was confirmed that Jon Favreau is back as Happy Hogan in Spider-Man.
Because
they're crossing over that deep
dark, yeah.
But we didn't even have Happy Hogan in the Avengers movies and stuff. You know what I mean? So it's cool.
Oh,
to have,
they're like, oh, Iron Man.
Like deep cuts, they're going. So I'm excited because I love Jon Favreau. I think he's one
I
of
won't
the.
Be, I won't be happy till Sam Rockwell's back.
Oh man, I love Sam Rockwell.
Yeah,
but I love the fact that like we haven't had that deep of a cut, and the fact that Marvel's investing so much, they're putting in a side character from a side movie that hasn't been. You know what I mean? It's been a while, and I think Jon Favreau is an underappreciated like forefather of the Marvel Universe. Iron Man 1 was the boldest of moves.
He is the forefather. Right.
He's the guy that made it possible, and Joss Whedon deserves all the credit he gets. But I also think that Jon Favreau is like he. It's the $1 billion industry, and this man started it.
Does Joss Whedon get credit?
Joss Whedon's like the Avengers, so he made it. He assembled it. You know what I mean?
I mean, he's a director for hire for Marvel. I mean, Jon Favreau should get. I like Joss. Avengers is fun, but like, I mean, Jon Favreau should get everything.
I want John Favreau's name to be in every conversation.
Without Iron Man, the superhero boom doesn't start, right?
I understand, but there's enough accolades for everybody. I mean,
no,
I only have one accolade.
I don't know where you're getting all your accolades.
Just find them around. But I think John Favreau really, I'm glad he's getting to have his face, and like he gets to be back in the Marvel Universe, because he doesn't want to direct the movies anymore. He's doing great things like Jungle Book.
I love Jungle Book.
He's so good. He's a brilliant director.
It was really good.
I'm glad he's back, at least in the Marvel Universe. I'm glad he's in Spider-Man, because it's shaping up to
be quite the live action with the CGI mix. It was so well balanced.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. And we have one more picture from Spider-Man while on Spider-Man. Tom Holland's Instagram released this super late 80s, almost Daredevil flavored Spider-Man that looks like a panel from a comic that made it look like this.
Oh,
that is so stylized and like how you remember Spider-Man. That looks like a cover of a comic in the late 80s.
That's the same alley he walked away with when he put his Spider-Man
suit in the
dumpster.
Yeah, there's a garbage can in the bottom right corner that he just left his... That's Spider-Man No More as a picture.
And the picture's a little bit dark, but if you can lighten it when you watch this at home or whatever, or if the both of you have seen it, if you look closely, it kind of looks like he doesn't have his hood on there. Like, he doesn't have the mask on.
It's another one of those Spider-Man... It's not Spider-Man No More, but it's that moment. It's a nod. Yeah. It's a great little, like, flavor piece, and it makes me happy.
It's interesting that they're not doing Gwen.
Yeah. Because I feel like Emma Watson was just so good recently. Like,
she wasn't good. She was whatever.
But the love between Andrew Garfield and her was real in real life so much that it translated on screen. I think that's the correlation they're trying to separate from.
It's interesting. Are they not doing Harry either?
Apparently, a lot of the kid castmates are all people that grow up into these big characters. Like, Ned Leeds is in this movie.
Ned Leeds, the Hobgoblin?
Ned freaking Leeds is a student in this school.
He's a kid?
Yeah. Deep cuts. They're going like
Smallville with it.
Yeah, some of the stuff I'm reading,
Ned Leeds being a little kid is more Gotham than Smallville, but
but it's an interesting plant seed, right? Gotham. Like Hobgoblin is like
heard weird things about Gotham. I haven't watched.
Yeah, not Gotham.
Gotham is so silly. Gotham is like, what's your name? Oh, I'm new to town. My name is Jonathan Mr. Freeze. it's like, we bringing in a new criminal. What's his name? Miguel Jokar, and he has a skin design. It's ridiculous. There was this character, they did Riddler as a forensic scientist, and he was just like literally acting like a goofy cartoon version of the Riddler, like, riddle me this, for like two seasons, and then he turned bad and everyone was like,
great Scott.
Edward Nygma was the Riddler. It also makes every villain like 12 to 15 years older than Batman.
Really weird.
Oh, okay.
And they just aged up Poison Ivy. Like, it's
did
a,
they?
She was
I know
kid,
that. Didn't they name
her
Ivy?
I don't know.
A little girl shows up and she's like, "What's your name?" Poison Ivy. It's like Gotham.
Okay.
Gotham is so silly and weird.
At least Ned Leeds is a kid. Like, I'm okay with the planting that way. And even if they never use Hobgoblin, it's cool that we know Ned Leeds is there.
Leeds as a kid is like, what?
Yeah,
it's confusing and interesting.
It means they read a lot of comics. That's what excites me. Is like those are cuts from the 90s that haven't been referenced.
Well, do you remember how Ned Leeds started?
He was a reporter.
He was a dickhole reporter.
That was Betty's.
Yeah, dude, and then he wanted more stories, and he was always, like, pissed off that Peter was, like, doing good. He was, like, a handsome...
Peter was the hotshot, and he liked Betty, and he was like, but Betty's with Ned! Yeah. And then he was always pouting about Ned, and then it turns out Ned's, like, actually the worst guy.
It was this
cool paranoia, like, I bet Ned's not so bad. Like, it was this cool way to have that, like, commentary on boyfriends.
I wish they'd just do a fucking Spider-Man movie. Just one. Where Harry is just nice and good friend to Peter, and Norman Osborn is just a nice, good, pseudo-father figure mentor, just for a full movie.
Just earn the Osborn legacy.
Just earn it. Just
that's the whole
fucking,
point.
Yeah.
That's literally the point. Because Harry ODs in one of the most powerful issues of comics, period.
Yeah,
and
Harry's never even really the Green Goblin.
Harry's only the faux Green Goblin because he's trying to impress his dad.
Because he's, like, freaking out.
And he's a drug addict. So this amazing issue where, like, not only does Harry have to deal with being ODing on drugs, he saves everyone while being the guy
from
that put
the explosion.
Them in danger.
Yeah.
He planted bombs and then dies saving them, and that's the character. We haven't had that Harry Osborn.
Well, we haven't even had
that Spider-Man.
Hey, MJ, let's go for a date. I'm Harry Osborn. I'm Harry's nice rich friend who has a lot of self-loathing because my dad loves Peter Parker more than he loves me. We haven't even gotten
there's
that.
There's a lot of that. And now we can now. I want this series to be Boyhood with Spider-Man.
I mean,
want
how
Harry
cool
Potter
would it be if in the second movie Osborn shows up and it's like Tom Hanks. And
yeah,
he's just,
oh my God.
And he's just like the man.
The
and
coolest
so
guy
nice.
In the world.
Yeah.
Because we've seen Tom Hanks go dark and he'd be great at it.
Well,
oh,
but
I love
then
that.
Then when
he's got levels.
When Willem Dafoe shows up, it's like, okay, he looked like the Green Goblin.
You're some sort of bad guy. You're a bad guy.
Man, he had that like like schizophrenia. He had just had that down, like that split disorder.
Yeah, but he already looks like this.
Well, his face looks like the Goblin mask. It's very impressive casting. But
have you ever seen that the animatronic Goblin mask they were going to use?
It's beautiful.
It's so great.
It's so it's like literally the Green Goblin, yellow eyes, full, and it was animatic. So it like smiled and snarled and moved, and it looked beautiful. And it had the cowl.
And then they replaced it with that fucking Power Rangers.
With the Power Rangers ski. It looked like Olympic skiing to me. You know those costumes you wear when you like go downhill skiing?
Yeah. Well, it's weird because the Green Goblin is like. It's Batman if Batman was the Joker.
Yeah.
Norman Osborn is Bruce Wayne if he was evil. He has all the gadgets. He has all the stuff.
Okay.
He has all the skills. He has all the fucking intelligence.
Right. I never saw him that way.
But he's a fucking psychopath. That's what Marvel did with Batman.
Right. And that's beautiful. And that's why Spider-Man's villains, once again, are so interesting because they're so fleshed out.
They're so cool. Any of them could have their own comic.
Exactly. And that's why they do a lot. And that's why the comic sells, because you need to care about Spider-Man just as much going into it. And Doom killing it in the booth. After this Jack in the Box commercial, because we live in commercial society.
Is there a Jack in the Box commercial playing on the stream right now?
He found the Green Goblin thing. Yeah.
No one can see that except you.
Yeah, that's just for us. It goes big.
I was like,
what a weird plug for us.
So stop sponsoring.
In the middle of the show, we
have
commercials.
Some Jack in the Box.
That's our thing.
Oh, look, we're gonna see it. I love this mask
Check this. Oh my god, it's beautiful.
They were actually going to do this, and then they didn't, and I hate them so much for it. Wait till it starts moving.
That's Alex Ross painting come to life. That literally looks like Alex Ross's Green Goblin.
Yeah, there it is.
That is beautiful.
Oh god, imagine that in a Sam Raimi movie.
We were so close.
Yeah, watch it move.
Look at it.
Oh!
It's
Fuck!
Alive.
Why isn't this in the movie?
It's alive!
What executive was like, this looks... There's Sam wearing it.
Which is also awesome.
Fucking off.
I'm loving the ears.
Look at that! Look at it smile!
What's wrong, Peter? Don't tell Harry. Look at it! Why wasn't this in the fucking movie?
It's genuinely scary and also empathetic, which is everything the Goblin needs to be. That's a guy you can have a conversation with and be terrified of.
He's like a Shakespearean. There's something wonderfully Shakespearean and classical about it.
Right. It's a true mask. Like, it's oh my god, shit.
He's so great. I'm so glad that you guys found this video so quickly.
Yeah, so
that's Doom, the man.
Doom killing at the booth. We got to wrap up, so I want to give some quick shout outs on Twitter. You guys are amazing. I didn't get to do any last week. I can't do them all this week. I'm sorry. But John J. Robel, it would have been your mom's 55th B-Day, and she passed away 2 weeks ago. Happy birthday to your mom. I know how hard that is. Happy birthday to her. Jack Fern, Logan Wilson 93, it's your birthday Saturday. Happy birthday. Max Aron, thank you for sending me that Shocker pictures first. You got me, like, I was the most excited I've been in a long time. I'm going to do a lot more Twitter shout outs next week. I just wanted to get to those that I got today. This has been a very zealous show of appreciating Shocker and love. And
was I too negative for this show?
No.
Okay, good. Because I'm very excited about
these
movies.
It's a positive thing, and we have a positive corner of the internet, and I love that comic fans still have a place for positivity, and you guys are all amazing. I've been Koi Jandro, at Koi Jandro.
I'm Markia McCarty at Twitter and Instagram, MarkeiaMccarty. We can also talk wrestling, Sailor Moon Crystal. I've got a lot of fans.
Are you a wrestling person?
I don't wrestle in person, but I'm on AfterBuzz TV here for
WWE. She's the wrestling host.
Yeah.
Invite me around sometime.
That's right.
Not I'm only... the wrestling's a wrestling guy.
Right.
He loves it as much as he loves comics.
I was like, why is his name so familiar?
Yeah, when I said Max Landis, you were like, I'm Max Landis. You can follow me on Twitter at Up to My Knees and at YouTube where I post bad videos, also at Up to My Knees. And Channel Zero comes out on Sci-Fi Channel on September 22nd
oh, that's
or 27th
soon,
yeah it's real soon
oh it's
my,
exciting
my first TV show and then Dirk Gently in August so
killing it
please
Dude.
Keep up
thank you guys so much this
thank
is the Marvel Movie News absolutely man and I'll see you guys next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.